Jesus says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." A professor of mine at SBU once said that humility is a very fleeting thing. Once you claim it, you lose it. How true of a statement that is. The picture of someone running around shouting at the top of their lungs how humble they are comes to mind. It just doesn't add up, does it? The sermon today is going to be on humility, and in my opinion, it will be the best sermon you've ever heard. I saw that on Google. I thought it was good. Humility is a very difficult thing. But I want to make the claim this morning that humility is most difficult, especially for the Christian. Because it is the Christian, you and me after all, who claim to be right about who God is and about what he says. We're right on how he says to live. And so as a Christian, how do we approach the other person who may not be Christian? Or maybe they claim to be Christian, but their lives show that they care very little about what God says. How do we approach them and tell them that they're sinning against God, but we do it humbly? It just doesn't add up, does it? So we try to make this most difficult task of being humble easier by doing one of two things. We usually get it wrong in one of two different ways. Either one, we decide that because Christ has called us to humility, we decide out of love that we are going to say nothing at all. Even worse, we decide maybe even that we're going to condone their sinful behavior because, after all, who are we to judge? And that makes humility pretty easy for the Christian because now I don't have to worry about speaking God's truth to you. All I have to do is love you. But on the other hand, there are some who decide to take that stand upon God's word and have that difficult conversation with one and to call them back to the life that God has called us all to live, but we do it usually without love. We come off judgmental, demeaning. We approach those conversations caring more about being right and less about the other person's life. Our pride gets in the way. Jesus calls us to humility, and I think from the very beginning we can all admit that this is extremely difficult. To speak God's truth, but to do it in love. And to humble ourselves and count others more significant than ourselves. It is a lifelong, daily, sometimes hourly battle. Humility. It is never mastered. Our pride gets in the way. A man once confessed that our military members always fly coach. "I've never seen a soldier in first class in my life," he said. "And every time I see a soldier on a plane, I always think, you know what? I should give him my seat. It would be the right thing to do. It'd be an easy thing to do. And it would mean a lot to them. But I never have. Let me make that clear. I've never once done it. But here's the worst part. I actually become proud of myself for at least having thought it. I'm such a sweet man, so caring, so nice of me to think of doing such a nice thing, but no, I've never actually done it." Well, in June 2014, an Oscar-nominated actress, Amy Adams, was boarding a flight from Detroit to Los Angeles, where she was shooting a new movie, and she noticed an American soldier being seated in coach, and she actually decided to do something about it. It just so happened that a reporter for ESPN was there in the first class with her, and she witnessed everything that Miss Adams did. She witnessed Miss Adams quietly ask the airline crew permission to switch seats with the soldier, whom she didn't know. She watched Miss Adams move to coach, and the surprised soldier, who didn't know who his benefactor was, move up to first class. And when the plane landed, ESPN quickly spread the word, and it became the number one trending hashtag on Twitter. I need to act like I know these things. I'm a millennial, for crying out loud. So that millions of Americans could also feel proud and think to themselves that they would have done the same thing, but never actually do it. Jesus teaches that the Christian life is about humility, that we count others more significant than we count ourselves, that we care for the other more than we care for ourselves, that we nourish them, provide for them, care for them, lift them up, especially even when it costs you, even when it hurts you, your pride, your ego, your pocketbook, your schedule. You approach others humbly. But the Lord doesn't just teach us humility, he actually lives it. And Jesus was God, and though he was God, highly exalted above all creation, he humbled himself, and he took on our human flesh, and he walked among us as fully man and experienced the same sins and temptations that you are tempted by. He was tempted by the same pride, same lusts, same temptations that you and I both endure, yet he was sinless, highly exalted above all sin, had the power of heaven and earth in his hands, and yet he continued to humble himself and allowed himself to be arrested with swords and clubs. And though he had angelic hosts at his command, he humbled himself in front of a lonely Roman governor who sentenced him to die. God, the highly exalted one, humbles himself for your sake. He who was the creator of all life humbled himself even death on a cross. And this Jesus, God has raised up and highly exalted him. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one day that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, Jesus lives. And his reign is forever. Not only does he live to teach you and to show you humility, but he lives today to exalt you himself and all who humble themselves before him. It's the only way that we can approach our Lord is through humility. Whoever humbles himself, Jesus says, will be exalted by me. The Lord comes today to exalt you with his word of forgiveness. He lifts you up, he nourishes you, he sustains you, he exalts you with his Holy Spirit. When you're crushed, when your bones feel dry, when your heart's downcast, the Lord exalts you. He fills you up. He exalts you today with his own body and blood at his table. And when you approach his table, his wedding feast, this heavenly banquet, we confess that each of us deserves the lowest seat among his guests. You deserve death and hell for what you've done. And yet he comes to nourish you with his body and blood, forgiveness for all of your sins. He comes to exalt you, to sustain you, to forgive you, to care for you, even though it cost him his own blood, his entire life. He humbled himself for your sake so that he could exalt you. Amen.